setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you and your purpose. We're going to talk about your professional purpose because we believe that you were created to fill a unique role in your work. That means you are needed and it means you must do it. It's not about your personal success. It is about your significance that the world needs from you. There's somebody out there who needs you to show up and be your best in and through your work. Now, we'll take the success that comes along with doing that. We'll take the satisfaction, but really we're driving towards significance. You are significant, and yet it's not enough to know that. You must deliver that. You were created with talent, things you do well. Think people skills and hard skills. You were created with passion, a love of a certain type of work or tasks. You just love it. And then, because you're a soul, you have a sense of mission. There are results that you want to put in the world. It's not just the work itself you love, but the results that matter deeply to you. Talent, passion, and mission is what I just described. Those are the three indicators that when you're clear on those three things, you will then begin to see clues and you see alignment because you use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission. When those three elements of you are in alignment, it points to many things in the world that you can do that are on purpose, that are in that sweet spot, that will give you the income and the impact. It's possible. So I want to help you with that. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. I want to start off today's show real quick. I'm going to give you three tips from an article that we have at kencoleman.com. If you go to my articles page, kencoleman.com, you scroll down, you see articles, you can get the whole thing, 12 interview tips that will impress the hiring manager. I'm just going to go through three real quick because this is key. This is the number one pressure-filled moment for people is the interview. So how do you prepare to win? The whole article is only a seven-minute read, but I want to highlight three things. Number one, research the company and the person that's going to interview you. The company research is under, you get that, right? We're going to learn about their mission, the products and services, their history, enough to be able to give a 30 to 60 second spiel in an elevator to a stranger. It's going to help you in the interview. But a lot of people don't do the actual research on the person that's interviewing you. Presumably, you're going to know who the interview is with. LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, do some homework on them. Why? To be a creep? No. To learn something about them, to create connection in the conversation. This goes a long way to winning the interview is to be likable, not just hireable, but likable. So that's the first thing. The second tip is to make sure that you are checking your nonverbal cues. You could give all the right answers, be doing really well verbally, but send some bad nonverbal cues. So here's the deal. Make eye contact. Smile throughout. Lean forward. Act engaged with your body and take notes. Even if there's not much to write down, even if you write down what they said word for word, look like you're engaged. These nonverbal cues really make you stand out. And then finally, ask questions. The interview is not just about you giving answers to see, for them to see if you're the right fit. It's also for you to figure out, is this job the right fit for me? Here are some questions that you can ask in the natural course of the interview that are going to make you, number one, stand out because they are thoughtful. But number two, they get you really good information. Number one, what does it look like to be a success here? Who wins at this organization? Number two, what do you, talking to the person interviewing you, love about your job? What are your greatest challenges? Three, where is this organization headed? What are you looking forward to as you think about the future of this company? And then finally, how would you describe the company culture? Those questions are very practical. They're going to make you look impressive, but more importantly, they're going to get you information that will help you make the decision. 844-747-2577. 2577 is the number. Let's go to Sarah, who joins us in Los Angeles. Sarah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Good afternoon. Sarah.
Thank you so much. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I've been listening to you just not very long. I discovered your show, and I'm really excited to be exploring my career stuff with you. So, but I'll get to my question. I'm basically calling because I'm unsure about moving into a different department within my organization. There's been bad blood where I'm currently at, which seems to kind of have reconciled, but there still seems to be like a lingering negative vibe among especially my two bosses and myself.
Is it between you and them or just between them and you're kind of just getting the kind of the collateral damage?
Oh, no, it's between myself and them. So
ooh,
it's literally the two of them against me.
Oh, yuck.
So, I did land an interview with a different department, but I am just really unsure if I should even proceed with it. And, just to give you a little bit of why I'm also unsure is my husband just lost his job. So I'm going to be in a pickle with that until he seems to get back on his feet.
Does that put you guys in a tough financial situation until he gets...
Yes, in some ways, although I have been sort of for a while, I was a sole provider before he got let go of his other
job. So it's not like an extreme situation. So what does that have to do with you being unsure about this other position? Are you assuming that you might fail if you go into it and it doesn't work and they let you go, or you hate it and then that puts all this extra pressure on you? Because you're already in a not so great situation now.
Right. Yes. And I do think that there may be, the pay will definitely be, I was willing to take the plunge at maybe moving, but then making less. But with this new situation, I feel like that's not necessarily a wise thing at the moment until I figure out.
No. So hold on a second. Let me make sure I understand. So this position that you've applied for within the company is a pay cut.
I have a feeling it is. It will not disclose that information, but it is,
If it's a pay cut, I wouldn't do it. It seems like you can put up with these two bosses' situation a little while longer. It seems like you said it's kind of getting better. And if you're big enough of a person, which I think you are, you do whatever you got to do to mend the fence. But I think you start looking elsewhere. Now, if this other job within the company is better pay or the same pay, then I think you take it. If it's less pay, I would not take it based on your financial situation with your husband. Does that answer your question?
Yes. One other thing is, should I go with the interview to ask that question, or should I just simply ask whether or not they can disclose the pay information?
Sounds like they can't disclose it, so I wouldn't ask them to do something they don't normally do, but if sometimes they do, you can mention it. But now you can walk this out. I would continue the interview process and let's get an offer.
Okay.
Because now you know. Again, this is... I think you need to look elsewhere. I don't mind you playing this out, the internal offer opportunity. But if it's less money, it's an automatic no way. I start looking elsewhere because you got to move on eventually. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The job search, as you know, out there looking all the time, is this still a good time to move? The answer is yes. The job market is hot, hot, hot. But the job search can be filled with long, lonely hours on the computer and countless attempts to get noticed. And you didn't hear anything back. It's like a steady diet of discouragement. ZipRecruiter gets it. No one wants to feel alone in their job search. That's why ZipRecruiter's artificial intelligence does so much work for you. Job seekers, you need to feel the love by going and signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. Once again, that is ZipRecruiter.com. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Different kind of talk radio show. We're not talking politics. We're talking purpose. And I can tell you, your state capital and our nation's capital, they're not going to help you with your purpose at all. I wouldn't be paying attention to any of them, to be honest with you. I don't care what party. 844 747-2577 is the number. Let's stay right here in our backyard, Nashville, Tennessee. Christine is on the line. Christine, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Kenneth. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
I'd love to briefly share my career journey with you and then get your counsel and advice of kind of what to do next.
Okay, go.
Okay, so in my 20s, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. I had the dream of becoming a professional songwriter, and I was very blessed, and I achieved it. I achieved it very quickly. It was bizarre.
Wow.
And so it was weird. So I was under contract for 4 years with a very reputable publishing company here, and I was a tiny fish in a big pond, and I did great for a small fish. And then this is a decade story, and the contract ended in 2016. By the end of the fourth year, I was a little burned out and tired and lost and not really sure what I wanted to do. Right now, I would say there is still a huge part of my heart after 4 to 5 years in that industry that loves songwriting and as a career, not just as a hobby. I'm still very much in love with it. So when that ended, I just ran out, grabbed a desk job just to keep income coming in, which sucked after going from the music industry.
Oh, I can't even imagine how you go from songwriter
We're not going to go there. There's a lot of mental health.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But I worked with very sweet, kind people at this desk job, and it sucked. Okay, so here's where I am now. If you were to say, what's your passion? I would say health. And that led me to an internship on a organic agriculture internship where I'm a Christian. I was around a lot of Christians, and it was a blessing of an experience. It was a short amount of time, but it was a blessing that kind of offered me a whole new career option. I am still, so that
what kind of health?
So this is going to sound new to some people. I am a huge believer in righteous stewardship from the soil up. So the health of the soil impacting the health of your animals, impacting the health of your kids' nutrition.
Okay.
So I'm passionate about nutrition and health.
Nutritional health. Okay.
One more question on that,
because I know you're giving me background, but I want to get something here.
Yep.
If you're intrigued by nutritional health, is that as a nutritionist, kind of a health coach, content, or is it more on that public content?
I fell in love with organic agriculture.
So you want to grow it?
Yeah, possibly. I would want to be, my dream would be kind of to be on a small organic agriculture farm or ranch that probably buses in a working farm that probably buses in some kids for education, things like that. So kind of more, I could see myself half in the field working hard with the animals, half maybe teaching kids or parents how to really harness kids' nutrition.
Okay, great. That's a wonderful vision. I got the dream. So what's the question?
Yeah, so the question is, my heart feels a bit, here's the question, I'm back at the damn desk job again right now, just because I don't have a clear-cut path. I have been volunteering hardcore at some organic farms in my area, and I'm blessed that I have Mondays off so I can additionally keep my feet wet the songwriting community.
Got it.
My heart feels torn between the two.
Your heart is torn between this organic nutrition dream and writing songs.
Yep.
Yeah. What if I told you that I didn't think you had to choose?
I agree with you.
Oh, great. Makes things a little easier.
I totally agree with you. And that's where I am.
Okay,
right.
Wait. I know. All right, let me take over from here, if you don't mind. Can I take over? Okay, great. So you're back at the desk job because you got a financial issue. We need stability. That's the issue. Yep. That's why we're at the desk job. So how much money do you need to make? What's that number where we go, well, if I was going to replace the desk job today, what's the number I got to bring?
It's just me. I can get by real comfortable on give or take $2,000 a month.
So what is that? Are you making $24,000 in the desk job?
Let's say $29,000 to $30,000 I can get by just fine.
Okay, and that's what you're making now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we got to replace $30,000. All right. There's no need to go backwards. Yep. Okay. So there's a couple ways to replace that. Let's just common sense. We're not getting detailed. I'm trying to get your head aligned with your heart, and your head's freaking out right now. Okay. And it's keeping you from moving forward. So let's get practical. There's two ways to get $30,000. One, ideally, we go work for some clean food, organic farm, doing something. Even if you're doing the kind of administrative crap you're doing now, it wouldn't suck as much because you'd be in the environment doing the thing you're doing. So one way to do it is we get $30,000 in the industry, not the dream job, but we just get $30,000 in the clean food, organic, from the dirt stuff. Okay, that's one option. The other option is we get another day job that we don't hate as much, doesn't suck as much, and it allows me to continue to look, continue to volunteer. You're using the proximity principle, which I wrote a book on, which says in order to do what Christine wants to do, she's got to get around people that are doing it and get in places where it is happening. You're doing that. Bravo. Opportunity is coming to you if you just keep doing that alone. A third option is, I didn't think of this one until now, is you get a couple of part-time jobs.
Yeah.
That make up 30. Okay. Maybe one is part-time in the industry you want to be in, which is the organic stuff. And the other is just some type of other part-time day job. Now, you take all of that, all those three options. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then we're still going to pursue songwriting. Now, this is going to be a bit of a struggle for a while, but you've been successful.
Yeah.
This is rare that I have this conversation with somebody who's actually done the songwriting to great success.
Yeah.
You know you can write songs. You also know what your creative rhythm needs to look like.
Yep.
So what we got to do is we got to find time, and maybe there's a season where you're not songwriting yet until we get stable.
Sure.
But where I'm going is we got to get you to where you've got to where you're in full time in the organic food space, and we have time to also be writing songs. Here's why. This is not just a strategic play. You being creative and writing songs, you did really well. There's no reason to believe you can't recreate that. And blowing up with one song in Nashville could very well fund the farm.
Yeah.
Come on. I know what I'm talking about. So do you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to bank on that, but I'm saying because you love songwriting, that creative part of you needs to stay alive. And you might just make some really good money, which will allow you to maybe not blow up in one song, but a couple of good songs allows you to save up to buy that little piece of dirt and start your thing. So what we got to do is what I just did. We break it down so it's not this big giant hill we're trying to climb or mountain. We go, oh, I got to take this step and then this step. So you're in stage one, get clear. You're very clear.
Yeah.
And now it's about getting qualified. And I think it's really about the proximity principle for you. It's maybe some licensing here. I mean, some certification here and there on the nutrition space as you can afford it, as you can fund it. But that's the path forward for you. I think it's both. So what we got to figure out is I already gave you the options. You got to figure out what's the best option right now for the $30,000 that keeps us stable. Because stability is the key for you so that we can do this other stuff on the side. Songwriting and maybe the organic stuff. You got it?
Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, Christine. You got this.
Yes, sir.
You got this.
Oh, thank you.
You know.
I got this. You increased my confidence.
Yeah. Well, you should have confidence because I'm telling you. Nothing's missing here. The talent's there, the passion there, and the mission is there. Do both.
Thank you.
Do both. Sometimes, folks, our brain tries to make us take this false choice. Get your heart involved. Tell the brain to shut up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Helping you go from paycheck to purpose, income to impact, money to meaning. This is The Ken Coleman Show. It's possible. Life is too short to just be in an okay job, a good job. If your heart is longing for a greater contribution, the world needs what you have to offer. Work is not just a thing we do to live. Rather, we live to work. We live to contribute. And when you grab a hold of this, I'm telling you, we're talking breakthrough, and we're talking an unbelievable significant contribution that you will make to this world. And when you get to the end of your journey, you will reminisce. You will not regret. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brian, who joined us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. Brian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are we doing today?
I'm living the dream, Brian. What are you doing?
I'm trying to do the same.
Come on.
You can help me out with a little bit of a decision I got going on.
Okay.
All right. So I recently switched jobs at the beginning of this year into a field I actually really like. I do contract therapy for skilled nursing homes. So work for a company. It's going well. But due to hard work, I was recently approached by a competitor, and they're giving me an offer, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, they almost blow me away. I'm like, what do I do? I feel kind of, I'm in a spot. I really like the organization I'm with, but I feel like I could be really setting my family up for, for years to come.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. We're going to do the right thing. Now, the right thing is not determined exclusively by pay and promotion. So right now you got another company, and they're coming to you, and they're looking to jack your pay, and I'm guessing that comes with a promotion from where you are now professionally. Yes?
Jack and pay, doing the same thing.
Okay, great. So when we get approached with that kind of an offer, boy, do we feel good. Don't we? Don't we feel good right now?
I feel amazing.
Oh, man, it feels good. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but stay with me, folks. Watch what's happening with Brian. Oh, Brian feels good. Hey, I'm wanted. I am desired by this company, and they are putting their money where their mouth. Whoa, man, are you serious? This is going to change my life. How much is it going to change your life by the way? What's the number?
50K.
Whoa, man.
Plus, it's like,
yeah.
It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh. It keeps getting better and better and better. This is a no-brainer. Why'd you even call me? Yet you call
me. I don't know. It's just I feel like I just switched. I feel like I just switched jobs. And I
hold on.
One thing I pride myself on is not being a job hopper.
Well,
even when I was with my other company, when things weren't going the best, and I wasn't really like I enjoyed what I was selling, but I wasn't necessarily in the field that I ultimately wanted to be into.
Okay, so you're calling me because you feel guilty about taking a job that's going to offer you 50 grand more that could lead to 100 grand more. Come on, I'm not buying it. There's more there. Now, let me finish. This seems like a no-brainer. I was having a little fun. Seems like a no-brainer. Maybe it is.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well,
that's the tough part.
So the tough part. So hold on. Is this a... Because to me, pay will wear off. For three months, 6 months, maybe, you're going to feel really good when those checks come in. Stand a little taller, chest out a little bit more, feeling real good, doing good with that money. But that's going to wear off one day. True or false?
That could be possible.
Okay, now hold on.
I don't know.
No. I'm telling you it'll wear off. We humans, we adapt quickly. Still a good thing, but it's no longer going to be the high that you're on right now. So here's the question. Does it allow you to stay on the ladder that you want to climb, or does it keep you in your sweet spot, which is what I teach? You're already doing the job. So if you love this job and this is the ladder you're supposed to be on, this becomes the ultimate deciding factor. Because if the money is on top of the fact that this is on purpose for me, then it is a no-brainer. I was having a lot of fun with you because I want to take out all the extenuating circumstances. It's not about guilt. It's not about being a job hopper. You're not a job hopper. Do you like sports, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your favorite
guy?
Great. You're an Eagles guy, right?
Yep.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Okay. If You fire your coach at the end of this season or next season, which is probably going to happen because you guys are the Eagles. People aren't happy with anybody. Okay, you know it, and I know it. I know football. Yeah. All right, and you guys hire a coach who's a hot shot in the NFL or a hot shot in college, who's only been at that previous job a year or two, and you hire them to be the Eagles coach. Do you go home and go, well, we hired a job hopper?
No, you hired the best guy for the job.
Thank you very much. You know, so why is it different for you, Brian? Why are you a flake and a job hopper, and the coach that you hired to coach your beloved Eagles is not a job hopper? It's the best candidate. What's the difference?
I don't know. Maybe it's – I feel like there might be a stigma surrounding around, you know, I'll call it private organizations versus NFL or –
I'll stop it. You're trying so hard to win this thing, and there's nothing to win. I'm not against you. I'm for you. You don't need to be guilty about taking a great stinking opportunity. The question is it the right opportunity? Is it the right move on purpose? Does it keep you on the ladder or allow you to move up the ladder that you want to be on, yes or no?
I feel like it does. It's it does.
Then this conversation is over. I have three words. Take the job. Yeah, but Ken, I mean, I've only been, take the job. Yeah, but Ken, I don't want to, take the job. But Ken, I'm not, take the job. Take the job. Take the job. That's why he called. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. Brian called for my permission. I promise you. He didn't need it, but so now I'm telling him, take the job. Listen, when I threw that Philadelphia Eagles thing at him, he had one set of rules for everybody else, but he wouldn't apply the same rule to himself. Why? Because Brian's a good dude. He's actually a really, really good dude, and he doesn't want to upset the people that gave him a chance. Here's what he really doesn't want to admit, and he's listening. I put him on hold, but I'm teaching the rest of you too, okay? Brian doesn't want to deal with the confrontation of going in and sitting in front of those people and go, hey, I know I've only been here a short time, but I got a better gig and I'm leaving. That's what's really going on. See, we think confrontation is an argument, an altercation. It's not true. And I'm not playing semantics here. A confrontation is where we must confront a issue. And the issue is he's got to sit down with his leader and go, hey, I know I've only been here a short amount of time. Deuces, I'm out. And that feels dirty to him. It feels gross. It's scary. All the things, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, it's only scary because it's uncomfortable. And so he's going to have to be a big boy and put his big boy pants on and go in there and own it and say, hey, I'm sorry to break this news, but I got a life-changing opportunity. And you ready for this? If it's life-changing and it's the right kind of life change, not just money only, but its purpose as well, paycheck and purpose, income and impact. Folks, I'm not going to change my philosophy. So if it's both, it's a no-brainer. And if it lets some people down in the process, that's part of the deal. And here's what you got to, you people pleasers out there, and I'm chief among them. If we won't make the right decision or we delay the right decision, because we're worried about hurting people or disappointing people, the very people we're worried about, we're going to end up resenting anyway. So let's just be big boys and big girls and make the right decision and go forward. Knowing that good people, healthy people will cheer for us despite their disappointment. Unhealthy people will be jerks and talk about us behind our back. I can't control either one of those responses. What I can control is where I'm supposed to go. Do the right thing and walk forward. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, remember this. You matter and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.